It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA Music Mix.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am very excited about today's program. My name is Larry London. You are listening to Border Crossings, and in our studios and on our show today, we have two huge megastars known around the world. First of all, from Ireland, Sharon Corr of the Corrs family. And we've also got a band that's back in the studio with a new album and a tour. And we'll be talking to Linkin Park this hour. Stay tuned to Border Crossings. This is Larry London, and we welcome you to Border Crossings. In our studios today and on the road for her second solo album, we'd like to welcome all the way from Ireland, the very beautiful and talented Sharon Corr.
Good morning.
Of a very famous musical family. The Corrs, obviously. And you guys put out a number of records. I guess I read 45 or 48 million records sold as the Corrs.
Yeah.
So why go solo? Why is that the end of the Corrs?
Well, gosh, I'm trying to think now when it was. About 2005, we kind of felt that we really needed to stop and start having families, and because time was sort of ticking on, and we'd been on the road for about 15 years together, and we also had the most amazing success ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of like all our dreams came true, and I think you want to stop and appreciate that and maybe not try to push it to where it gets negative, if you know what I mean. But
mm-hmm.
It was incredible, an incredible journey. I'm really proud of it. But for me, it was kind of, we came off the road, but I never wanted to stop singing or playing or writing. That's not a choice for me. This is what I do. It's what I love. It's my passion in life. So I was pregnant with my first child within a month, but I was already writing my first solo record. And now my second one, which I recorded in LA last year with the great producer Mitchell Froom. And we started this tour in Brazil in October, and we're going to go all the way around the world.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So you're in America. This is a special treat for you. I guess you haven't been here for a while.
Haven't been here since, well, I was here for like 3 dates last year, but an actual proper tour the last time was 2004. Mm-hmm. And I have amazing memories of it because the American audience, they're a very responsive audience and they love music. They really appreciate good music and we've had amazing shows. And they kind of join you. It almost mm-hmm. feels like everybody's on stage in the shows out here. So I'm loving it.
And you're midway through the tour. I was looking at the dates.
Yeah, where are we next? Uncasville, I think, and then New York, and mm-hmm. then, we've got Boston, Toronto, Chicago, Detroit, a couple of places yet to go.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I got a couple of emails when I mentioned that you were going to be on the show, and they wanted to know, is there a chance the Corrs would get back together again or not? And I know that the focus is you right now and your new album, but people who are fans of the Corrs want to know what the status of the band is.
Well, I mean, we don't have any plans at the moment. I mean, that's kind of the status. I don't know. I mean, never say never.
Are you the only one who's still in music right now? The other three are?
Well, my brother is currently writing with another artist at the moment. My sister, Andrea, just had a little baby boy about a month ago.
Wow.
She's on her second child.
Auntie Sharon.
Yeah, exactly. And many times over at this stage. And because when we came off the road, we got going really fast. And Caroline has 3 children now. So,
All right. Well, we welcome you to our studios. The Same Sun is the name of the second album. And so we're going to ask if you wouldn't do a song for us now from the album. We'd love
to hear some music. I'll sing the title track of the album, The Same Sun.
Great. Sharon Corr on The Voice of America.
Mountains frame the failing light, an African vanilla sky. The evening sun is leaning toward the dawn. A dirt road with no sympathy is breaking ground in front of me to question everything I've ever known. A shepherd boy who smiles at me beneath the lone acacia tree. He shades me alone. A distant world to dream away, but this moment that we're in today, it's all we know. Color me, your movement like a symphony. You captured me and then you let me go. A distant world to dream away, but this moment that we're in today, it's all we know. Yeah.
Beautiful. Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Sharon Corr, the same Sun title track from the new album. So you wrote all the songs on this album?
Yes, I did. I some of them on my own, and some of them I wrote with a great Irish songwriter, Don Meskell. Mm-hmm. He's worked in Nashville for about 20 years and written for people like Celine Dion and the Rascal Flatts. Mm-hmm. And then I also wrote two songs with my producer, Mitchell Froom.
And Mitch has worked with Paul McCartney and quite a few other folks.
Everybody. I mean, everybody. He's worked with Las Lobos, Suzanne Vega, Crowded House. Like, one of his biggest albums was Woodface, Crowded House, Fleetwood Mac. I mean, he's worked with,
And Sharon Corr.
And me, of course.
Of course, and you. Yeah. Now, I listened to the whole album, and it's beautiful. Beautiful sounding album.
Thank you.
And some of the sound that I heard, I was trying to put my finger on where it was taking me. And I, you sound remarkably like Karen Carpenter. Now, that's a good thing. It's a compliment.
It's a really good thing.
She had one of the great voices of all time.
Wow, thank you.
So, yeah, as I was listening to the music, I had that feeling that I was listening to that sound that she had created so beautifully.
I'm happy to hear that because my mother was a beautiful singer. And the whole time growing up, my mum and dad had a band together and they used to play at the weekends. And mum sang like Karen Carpenter. Mm. You know, she was an absolutely beautiful singer. And so we were kind of brought up on a diet of the Carpenters and the Eagles and, you know, so many amazing, amazing artists. So that's a great compliment. Thank you.
It's a beautiful album filled with beautiful music. Why did you pick that song to name the album after?
That song means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of global in the way that we're all living our lives, but we all live under the same sun. And it's like the thing that unites us and we can't live without it. But I went to Tanzania last year with the charity organization Oxfam. I'm an ambassador for them. And I went to bring awareness and to basically interview and chat to women who are living under pretty appalling conditions out there in Tanzania. They suffer, a terrible amount of violence on a daily basis. It's normal. It's part of the culture. And they also have really no rights to land, and yet they are the ones farming the land, growing the crops, you know, making the food, bringing up the children. Basically, they do everything and they have no rights. So the campaign was called, is called Ending Poverty Starts with Women. And I was really attracted to it, and I, if I can help people in any way, you know, I want to. And it was one of the most powerful experiences of my life. In some ways, it was extremely sad. We were in just these tiny little villages in the middle of nowhere. You know, you'd see a child, and if they had an open wound, you kind of knew that child could probably die just from that little cut. You know what I mean? Because they just don't have any supplies. But I interviewed these women, and it was quite incredible because the joy they gave across living in these adverse conditions and in these terrible circumstances. And it was quite amazing. And you would see them dancing. And I played fiddle for them one day, and they were like, oh my God, what is this? Because they hadn't heard it before. And it's the whole rhythm of it is so different from anything that they would do out there, you know. So and then they were all dancing in the village. So it was like I felt every emotion possible on that trip. And so this song was, rather than it be like a judgment or a speech or a charity song, it's just a song of the atmosphere. Because when I was on the bus on those dirt roads, sometimes we were traveling for 8 hours and we'd get stuck and we'd have to get a push out of the, you know, the dirt in the road. And I was just writing what I was seeing, you know, and I saw a little shepherd boy beneath a lone acacia tree and he smiled at me. So that's the song. So I just wanted people to feel the atmosphere of the people rather than to make a judgment or to try and send some message. But if there is a message, it is that we're all under this planet, under the same sun, and we need to look after each other, you know.
Well, that is a beautiful message. We are broadcasting in Tanzania, by the way. And so,
you're kidding.
No, we are.
Oh, so cool.
A lot of people listen to us and tune us in there. And so
very cool.
Following. So I'm sure they're thrilled
That's
to hear
nice.
From you again, knowing that you've got a special relationship with people there.
Absolutely.
In Tanzania. Now, you know, I read somewhere where it said that this is the most intimate album you've created. So obviously the songs are very personal to you beyond the one you just described.
Yeah, they are. They are very personal. I feel that that's kind of what I aspire to, because I don't think you can touch people unless you deliver straight from your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think people recognize the truth. You know, I think you can cover a lot of music up in a huge production and all the rest, but ultimately it may maybe make you feel something for a few seconds, but it won't be lasting. Mm-hmm. So for me, I needed to deliver something extremely personal. And it's kind of stuff that I need to get out of my system. Whether it's good or it's bad, or, you know, I'm having a good day or I'm having a great day, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whether it's celebratory or it's angry, you know, I just think that an album should sort of express all of human emotion, and it's a place where people go for solace, music. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to achieve.
Well, that's wonderful. You also had mentioned, you know, that you had done a lot of touring internationally, and now that you're here in the U.S. and you're appreciating the U.S. audiences, what's the biggest difference you've noticed between American audiences and the audiences in other places you've played, Europe and around the world?
You're not shy.
No, we're not.
And you know what? That is just the best thing in the world, because you get involved. And like, when I try to get people to sing with me, in every American audience so far, they've joined in. Mm. If I'm in like Bruges or somewhere like that in Belgium, they're like, they sit there and they're afraid to sing because they're just a little bit more conservative or whatever. But I also think that you've been brought up in a great tradition of jazz and also in country music. So I don't know. I think that you really get music and you're very inspired by it. And I think that you also love watching people on stage, because it's kind of, you can live the dream. If you know what I mean, like, you appreciate somebody who's following their dreams, because I think it's what you're all taught to do out here. Mm-hmm. Whereas in some other countries, people are feel a little bit more oppressed in a way, if you know what I mean. They're great audiences too, but the interaction is just amazing. For an artist on stage in the States, the interaction is incredible.
And Americans don't mind being loud and wild and boisterous. But that's, if you go to a karaoke bar, you'll see what I mean. And
that's how we should be.
But in other countries, people are kind of, they don't want to stand out. Whereas here, it's okay.
No, it's natural. It's way more natural, isn't it, really? Mm. You know.
I love the music that you've put on this album, and it's got to be an exciting time to be on tour promoting your second album, and we're thrilled to have you in our studio sharing chords here. Now, I have a question. If you're not using your voice, you're obviously using your fiddle, your violin, your fiddle. So in Ireland, is it typical when kids are growing up there, that's the instrument you get put in your hand? And here your dad puts, football, baseball, whatever. Here's a fiddle. Learn this right away. Is that?
It's very common to learn a musical instrument in Ireland. I mean, most people in almost every home would, you know, play an instrument. Mm-hmm. But singing would be even more common.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. We would sing a hell of a lot. There'd be an awful lot of, you know, an incredible amount of singing going on in the local pubs and clubs and at home, so it's really normal.
That's great. You obviously had supportive parents. You know, your mom passed away, but your dad is still around. He's an electrician, right?
My dad actually worked for an electrical company. He was an accountant, and it's actually his birthday today.
So happy birthday, Daddy.
We'll
have to sing him happy birthday or something.
Yeah.
All right, if you're going to do another song for us, I'd love to hear some more music from Sharon Corr.
Okay. Now, this is one I wrote with my producer, Mitchell Froome. This is called Take a Minute. There's something you should know by now, that every time I leave, I miss you more than all the times before. As I stand here watching you sleep, and take a minute, just a little time, one more moment for a little while. When I go, I'll be back before you notice. One last chance before I say goodbye, and take a minute, and take a minute. Time is running, I have to go, but as I turn to leave, I see that look, you know you cannot hide. Every time we say goodbye, and take a minute, just a little time, one more moment for a little while. When I go, I'll be back before you notice. One last kiss before I say goodbye, and take a minute, and take a minute. Apart, but someday soon we'll lie under the moon.
couple minutes just to let out time. One more moment for a little while. When I go, I'll be back before you notice. One last chance before I say goodbye. And take a minute. And take a minute. And take a minute. And take a minute.
Lovely.
Thank you very
lovely,
much.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. The
you.
Album is The Same Sun, and we are graced with the presence of Sharon Corr, who's on tour in the United States. And then you're going where? You're going outside to the rest of the world?
Yeah, then I oh my goodness, what am I doing next? I released my album in France and then in the UK and Ireland, and we're just putting in some dates there now as well. And then I have, I think, 4 concerts in about South America.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm hoping to head to Asia after that, and yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
So where can people keep up with you? Is there a website online?
Yeah, on www.sharoncorr.com. You can also get me on Twitter and on Facebook, and there's a lot of stuff on
what
there.
What is your Twitter account?
It's at Sharon_Corr.
And you respond directly, or
always,
you have a staff of people
who are all
Sharon Corr?
I do my own Twitter.
That's great. Well,
yeah.
You know, you travel the world, as you mentioned, and go to so many places. Do you ever get influence from a place you've performed for a song? You did a show, and I got to write about this?
Well, actually, funny enough that you say that, because yesterday I wrote a song, and we played it on stage last night in Atlanta, myself and Tad Rock here. And it's so funny because I'd started the song a couple of weeks back, but I hadn't finished it, but I kind of knew it was working. And so I was writing the lyrics like 10 minutes before we got on stage.
Wow.
And then because we were in the South and have been in the South the last few days, Southern Charm is in my lyric now, you know. So it's absolutely, and you sort of... I love taking the atmosphere of a place. You can feel it, and mm-hmm. you know, that's what I wanted on The Same Sun, where you can feel almost the atmosphere of Tanzania in that song. And you know, and there's another song on the album, Upon an Ocean, and when I was recording it, I wrote it where I was recording it, in California, in Santa Monica, and the whole song is basically in my head. It's in like an old ballroom on Santa Monica Pier in the 50s.
Wow.
So yeah, I take something for wherever I go.
Now, you've been writing songs for a long time. I guess when you were probably a little girl, you started writing. Do you ever go back and look at one that you wrote when you were a teenager of 14, 13 and say, oh, let me look at that then?
I do. And I go, girl, you need to work on your lyrics. Like, you know, because the first song I ever wrote was like Princesses and Castles. And I think I was like Rapunzel or something waiting for my knight in shining armor. But yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, when I did my exams at school, my music exams, like I wrote music for my own exam and, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, it's always been that thing.
Maybe you'll pull one out and redo it now.
Maybe not one of the really early ones. I think they need to go back in the cupboard and stay there.
Now, Sharon, you've shared the stage with some pretty big names in the music business over the years. The Rolling Stones, U2. I mean, if, you know, in Ireland, it doesn't get any bigger than U2.
No,
Did you talk to Bono? Did he have anything to say? I mean,
he's
friends? Or?
Yeah, he's a friend, and he's a super guy. And we toured with them, and we also, I think he came on a VH1 Unplugged with us, and so did Ronnie Wood. And and we toured with the Stones as well. And you know, I have to say, because when the Stones bought us out on the Voodoo Lounge tour, and it was like a big deal for us coming out to the States and playing their gigs, like, because actually we did a couple in Germany before, and we did Nuremberg, and it was 100,000 people.
Wow.
You know, like, the exposure was amazing. But it was really funny because on the first night we're standing on stage, you know, and we can see all of the 4 Stones just standing there watching us, and it was kind of excruciating and wonderful at the same time. But they were really kind to us, and we had a lot of fun with them. Yeah.
Well, you're on the road with a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
You can introduce the different guys you brought with you today.
Well, we have Pete Wilhoit, and he's drummer. Today he's playing a music stand.
That's it. And very well.
A shaker, beautifully. And we have Tad DeBrock on guitar. And we have Keith Cotton on keyboards.
That's great. And you, I mean, this is, you know, you'd think you've been doing this a long time. It's only your second solo album. So on your wish list or your to-do list or what you want to do in the future, can you give us some insight into some of the things you say, gosh, I know one day I want to do this or I want to do that? Or
I want to play Carnegie Hall.
Do you?
Yeah,
okay.
I really do. And I just, my aspiration is always just to get better and to touch people more.
Anybody you want to work with? Any artists you want to collaborate with?
Robert Plant.
Oh, and she says, with a big smile.
I'd love to.
Well, please pick up a copy of The Same Sun. It's the new album from Sharon Corr, and it's available on your website, I would assume. There's a link, probably.
Yes, it is, and it's up on iTunes now.
Amazon,
so you'll get it on iTunes, everything, and it's just about to be released in the U.S., so you can get it here.
And the tour is going to go on? And on and on and on.
Yeah.
For most musicians.
Preferably, yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, would you do another song for us?
This is called Jenny's Chickens.
Sounding great. Sharon Corr. I usually ask, you know, people from Europe who come in and sing if they have an accent. When you sing, you don't have an accent. Why does that? I never could figure that out.
It's a really odd one. You'll notice more often the very few who do have an accent when they sing, but the vast majority of people don't. It's almost like you have to force it in.
Hmm.
It's like singing doesn't have an accent. But I always notice, you know, when somebody does, then I think they need to try to do it. I don't think it's natural to sing with an accent. It never has been for me.
Right, right.
It lives in a different place in your vocal cords, you know?
It's just kind of interesting. It goes away when people sing.
It's weird, isn't it?
It just disappears, yeah.
Although you hear it, you can hear it on certain words. Like I can hear like an Irishness to, you know, some of the vowel sounds and how I would do certain things. But but no, mostly it kind of, I think because you're probably listening to so many different types of music that what you're taking in is like a whole mishmash of other people's accents when they sing.
Mm.
So you know, because music is about sort of absorbing what other people do and then putting out your own thing as a result of that. So maybe it's that. It's hard to know, really, but yeah, no accent.
But it sounds beautiful.
Thank you very much.
With or without an accent.
Thank you.
Now, and the new album, obviously, we talked about the songs are very personal to you. Where's the strangest place you've ever gotten inspiration for a song?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. Wow. Well, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think of the
sounds. Strange places.
I mean, you know, I can think of them anywhere. Like when I'm driving.
Right.
You know, if I'm driving the car and then all of a sudden a lyric pops into my head, I'm like scrambling to find my phone and putting myself at risk so I can speak it into the phone. But, I mean, it can be like a restroom that I can find lyrics.
Right, right,
it can
right.
Be
now
anywhere.
You're going to start thinking about it.
I actually recorded in a restroom at
Did
one
you?
Stage.
The acoustics,
well,
they say
the acoustics are wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, how about the highlight? What's been the highlight for you so far? Because it's a very, you know, it's still a new journey, even though you've done this for so long.
You know, it's like almost every day there's a highlight. Like last night, we had a beautiful highlight on stage when we performed the new song. Mm-hmm. Because there was just this moment in the room where everybody kind of went, oh, wow, this is brand new, written like half an hour ago, and we're going to be the first to hear it. And for us, it was like a journey as well, playing it, wasn't it? Because it was like, whoa. So that can be really beautiful. There's sort of like a communion between the audience and us on stage that is can be incredibly uplifting, almost spiritual, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like its own type of church.
Right, right.
It's definitely my type of church, the music and the music world. So those moments are sometimes the smallest moments in the world are the most precious, you know.
Wow, you're very, you know, wonderful to talk to.
Thank you.
You're very inspiring, and I know the people in Tanzania miss you and can't wait for you to come back, as I'm sure the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Because I know you're heading out on the road to the rest of the world after we let you go here in the U.S. If we let you go, we may just keep you.
I don't think you should really.
I think
you should keep me. I'd be pretty happy staying in the States. I have to say.
It's the same son. So favorite songs on the album, so that we can listen for the same song.
I suppose the same son means a lot to me. I do love Upon an Ocean because you feel like you're in another era. And then The Edge of Nowhere is a song that I wrote with Don, and it's about sort of it really relates to being a musician because you're always on the outside looking in. You're in a tour bus, you're passing by all these towns with kind of houses and families and warmth and warm beds, and we're constantly on the outskirts, which I love. And but the idea is kind of like, should you be in there or should you be out here? And is your inside actually your outside, if you know what I mean? So it's kind of the idea, it's the lonely road stuff, but kind of there's a lot of people, I think, who are on the road who wonder, are they doing the wrong thing? Are they getting it wrong? Because everybody else has a normal life in a way. And for me, it's kind of like, no, my normal is on the outside, and that's where I'm on the inside.
Sharon Corr, absolutely lovely. The Same Sun is the album. And can I get another song out of you, or is that asking too much?
Yeah, what will we do?
I'm going to squeeze one more.
Okay, we're going to
see if we can squeeze one more out of you.
We'll do that. This is the first track on the album, actually.
Sitting alone, watching the day go by. Searching the sky to find a reason why. I hear the clock ticking, it's running slow. Our voices calling, won't you come to me? But I won't let go, no, I won't let go. 'Cause I need you to know that I tried. It's just the raindrops falling on my windowpane, anger raging from the skies, tears like knives upon my face again. Clouds have gathered just for the chase. It's just the raindrops. It's just the raindrops. Still sitting alone, watching the day break free. Feels like the walls are closing in on me. Losing my shelter from the rain. But I won't let go, no, I can't let go, 'cause I need to know till I don't. It's just the raindrops falling on my windowpane, anger raging from the skies, tears like knives upon my face again. Clouds have gathered just for the chase. It's just the raindrops. It's just the raindrops. It's just the raindrops falling on my windowpane, anger raging from the skies, tears like knives upon my face again. Clouds have gathered just for the chase. It's just the raindrops. It's just the raindrops. It's just the raindrops. It's just the raindrops.
Wow, beautiful.
Thank
Sharon
you so
Corr,
much.
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
The album is The Same Sun. Pick up a copy soon because they're going to all be gone. So you better hurry up and get one.
I hope so.
But thank you for coming in to the Voice of America. And
it's a pleasure.
Congratulations
you,
on the success and have a wonderful time on the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much.
Come back and see us again. This is Larry London. It's Border Crossings on the Voice of America. Special guests on line with us today here for the announcement of a very special event in their lives. These guys have sold well over 50 million records around the world. We've got Mike Shinoda and Chester Bennington with us from Linkin Park. Hello, guys. Welcome.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. First of all, congratulations on all the success. It's great that you guys are together again and working on the new album, which I understand is coming out this year. But the big announcement today is about the upcoming tour.
Yeah, that's right. We have a tour that we're announcing today with Linkin Park, 30 Seconds to Mars, and AFI. And we're going to be touring the U.S. this summer.
And you'll start off the tour in Tampa in August, and it'll go for several months. But you guys have a busy schedule before the big tour begins. You guys are going to be doing some festivals and doing the whole Hybrid Theory album in June. And this is exciting times for you guys, I guess, to be back together again.
It is exciting. You know, we always enjoy making new music. And, you know, the best part of making new music is going out and playing it for our fans. And, you know, like you had mentioned, we are going to be doing some festivals before we do our North American tour with 30 Seconds to Mars and AFI. We'll be performing for really diehard Linkin Park fans. We'll be at Download Festival in the UK. And we will be performing Hybrid Theory in its entirety, which is our first record. I think for the first time since we first started touring.
I don't even know if we've ever played it front to back, though. Back then, we'd play it, you know, in whatever order, like the set demand. And so that's a really unique event. But I think getting back to the U.S., we haven't toured the U.S. in a while, like done a full-scale U.S. tour. We have a big announcement Thursday that we can't talk about yet, but, you know, if our fans were interested in keeping in touch with us for that, that's going to be exciting. And then, new album coming out this summer. So we'll definitely be playing new material on the road this summer.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind. Yeah.
Ready?
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise.
Get him, Jay.
Who you know fresher than hoe? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lyrically at. Yep. Can none of y'all mirror me back? Yeah, hear me rap, it's like hand G rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what you expect? Yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Bam, your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open to him with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see you can't replace him with cheap imitations of these generations? Hardcore, do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
Yeah.
Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Look what I made for you. Knew if I paid my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drive a couple of hits, look how they wave to you. From R.C. to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters is just a matter of years. As fate would have it, J status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like Jordan, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Except I'll take one for your team. And I need you to remember one thing. I came, I saw, I conquer. From record sales to sold out concerts. Come up, you want this encore. I need you to scream to your lungs to soar. Come on.
I'm tired of being what you want me to be. Feeling so faithless, lost under the surface. Don't know what you're expecting of me. But under the pressure of walking in your shoes.
Life being
if we can, for just a second, talk about the new album. I know we don't have a release date, at least that we can announce yet, or a title for the album, but can you at least tell us what the album will be about? Because I know some of the albums you guys have made have been a little different. I mean, you kind of change it up throughout the five albums you've put out. Some had rock, yeah, some with rap, some, you know, it's been different. Will Jay-Z rejoin you? That was a rumor on the street. You'll do another track with Jay-Z. So what's going on with the new album?
Well, I mean, each album since the beginning, I mean, we did a couple of albums in the same style in the very beginning. And then we realized if we did another one, we felt like we'd be stuck doing the same thing forever. You know, just we couldn't imagine ourselves just repeating that. So ever since then, we've done, you know, pretty much every album we've done has been a little or a lot different from the last. And the new one is different as well. I think for fans, I think the fans know to expect the unexpected with the band. I think we've already said that on this album, it's at this point mostly self-produced, which is a new thing for us and has been a lot of fun. Chester and Brad and I have been kind of doing the lion's share of the heavy lifting, and it's been a blast. I mean, just, you know, from the perspective of like what kind of music we're interested in right now, it's I feel like a lot of stuff out there that I love to listen to. I love listening to alternative music, indie music, finding new stuff. And a lot of that stuff is like kind of, you know, dancey and mid-tempo. And like, I've been kind of waiting for an album that's been really like big and visceral and has some, you know, energy to it. And haven't found what I'm looking for. And I always know that whenever that happens, that it's a place to kind of invest my energy to make the music that fills that void. So That's kind of what we're doing.
We're bringing the balls back to the music, to rock music is what we're doing.
So Chester, are you finished working with Stone Temple Pilots? Is that something in the past, or are you going to continue on and off with them? Or
I switched back into Linkin Park mode, and you know, I'm gonna focus my energy on Linkin Park, and you know, when we have time to work on new material, we're gonna be working on new material and getting in the studio, and as soon as we can, you know, we'll get that music out as well. But I just wrapped up a tour with those guys. I've been working with them for the last year, and it's been a lot of fun, and we've had a lot of great times, and it's been great putting out new music with those guys, and we're excited to get back in the studio and make some more music for our fans.
All right, that's excellent. Well, we're glad Linkin Park's back, and look forward to the new album that's coming out and the big tour that starts in August, and I assume you have to say Oscar winner Jared Leto in 30 Seconds to Mars.
That's
now.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, you taking the tour around the world?
Eventually.
All right, good. We'll be right back. Linkin Park, thank you so much for joining us. Chester Bennington and Mike Shinoda, great to talk to you guys. Congratulations on the upcoming album and the upcoming tour as well.
Thank you, Larry. Take care.
Thank you very much, guys. My name is Larry London. Thanks to the whole crew for putting together today's program. This is Border Crossings on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.